I'd like for y'all to know that Jesus has really used the Exchange Life Counseling model to impact my life. And one big area that has had an impact for me is learning who I am in Christ Jesus. Greg started talking about Galatians 2:20 a long time ago in a way that I've never heard anyone in the church speak about what it meant to be in Christ Jesus. Through what Jesus did through the Exchange Life, he not only showed me who I was, what my true identity was, but Christ showed me through some of the pain spots in my life, areas where I had believed lies. I was in federal law enforcement. Previously, when I was in school and college, I had worked my way through college, laying brick, went into federal law enforcement. I am a doer. I make things happen. I fix things. Got a lot of pats on the back. And life seemed to be working really well. I was getting my own significance, my own significant needs met by striving to please man. That's about the best way that I could say it. All of a sudden, my coping mechanisms, the way that I live life, stopped working, and I knew there was a problem. And Jesus, through the Exchange Life, helped me to go back and see where some things that had happened at an early age that really impacted me and impacted the way I was I acted as a husband and as a father. When I was 3, I was slapped by my mother. And my mother, the only time she ever slapped me, and it was out of frustration, a little 3-year-old. I did something. I didn't even know what I was doing was wrong. But I came away from that thinking that I was unlovable and that home was not a safe place. And when a place you don't think is safe, you try to get away and you escape. Now, as a 3-year-old, how do you escape? I got on my tricycle. Rode my tricycle on a long sidewalk, lived in Mara, Georgia, and there was a really long sidewalk in front of our home along Highway 54, and I'd do that for hours at a time. Later, as I became older, my dad being a Baptist minister in South Georgia, I'd go hunting, and I'd stay out in the woods because we lived out in the boonies, and I was either hunting or fishing, staying away from home. Well, then, another thing had happened that really impacted me. I failed the first grade. I couldn't read. I wasn't ready for school. And I came away from that believing the lie that I was a failure. I'm unlovable. I'm a failure. And when you feel like you're a failure, you don't want to go through life being a failure. So I really, really strive to please people. But all of a sudden, it quit working. When my children started getting older, I was really plugged in. I was a workaholic. My kids were becoming older. I was leading Bible study, and they were asking some really great questions. And they asked some questions during a Bible study that I couldn't answer. They just asked questions. I felt threatened. What did I do? I escaped. In this time, it was emotionally. I was there, but I wasn't there, if you know what I mean. God took me through and Kenzie was asking me questions about what was going on and just trying to find out, trying to understand what was going on. Finally, she just gave up. And God really, through a process of brokenness, really worked on me. He not only showed me the pain and the hurt that I'd caused my family, my son and my daughter and my wife, He also showed me the pain spots where I believed a lie, where I had lived when I was raised in a family that, you know, you ignore a problem and it'll go away. I got to the point where I could no longer ignore my coping mechanisms. But God showed me who I was in Christ. And I'm going to turn it over to Cassie right now, let her continue the story.
You guys ever heard the terms false self, true self, that terminology? I hear it a lot lately in the last few years. And the terminology of authentic self. Or wearing the mask, have you ever heard that? That's what Jeff's talking about. He developed ways of covering up what was painful to him. That was his false self. And you guys have probably talked about the flesh. That's the flesh is what that is. I read something recently that said, humans are the only only thing anywhere who struggles with identity. Tulips don't struggle with their identity. They're just tulips, you know. Trees are trees. Dogs really don't struggle with identity too much until we mess them up. But we do. We struggle with, who am I? Have you ever thought that yourself? Who am I really? How do we lose ourselves? How do we begin to wear the mask? And Jeff's talked about that. Those hurtful things that happen to us as children, and we begin to do things to meet our own needs out of self-sufficiency. It's survival, isn't it? For me, I did have painful experiences in my life, but not really huge traumatic things that a lot of people go through. It doesn't matter. It's not about the painful experience. It's not about the rejection. It's about what I learned about me in that. So when we talk about that, we're not trying to blame anyone or be the victim. But it's important, and it was important for me to discover what I was believing about myself that caused me to wear the mask. One of the things that was really pretty simple that happened to me, that happens probably to a lot of children, I got in the middle of one of my parents' arguments. I was small. My mother slapped me, and that's not a way that we usually related. And I was shocked. I was confused. I felt fear. I felt alone. And I felt misunderstood. My parents settled whatever was going on, and it was never spoken of again. Nobody came to me and said, oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't about you. So out of that, I began to believe some things about myself. Another time, my mother just came in to say goodnight to my sister and I sharing a bedroom, and she looked at me and she said, well, Cassie, aren't you going to say anything? And I said, oh, what? Because I hadn't heard their conversation. And she said, well, okay, good night. Turn out the light and close the door. Well, it's not that big a deal, is it? But I remember it today. Why would I remember it if it didn't do something to my heart? My little girl heart couldn't go, my mom is having a rotten day. I don't know what's wrong with her, but she's having a rotten day, like we all have. My little girl heart said, there's something wrong with me. I felt confused, fear, alone, misunderstood again. And I began to believe about myself, not on a conscious level. I couldn't tell you at that time that I believed that. But looking back on it, I know it happened beginning there. I began to believe there's something wrong with me. I'm not valuable. If I were valuable, wouldn't they have come back and said, I'm sorry, that's not about you? So that's my lie. I'm not valuable. I'm alone. And as I began to live my life, I began to want to cover that. I don't want anybody else to see that I'm not valuable. So I began to do things. I'm firstborn, overachiever. I get the pats on the back for performing. And that's what I did. I got good grades, not because I was really smart, but because I worked really hard at it. And I learned that that could get me some significance. I also became a confronter and very assertive. These things that weren't resolved in my life, because there were those events that weren't resolved with my parents, I wanted to make sure in my relationships that I cared a lot about, I was going to resolve misunderstandings and conflicts. So I became this confrontive person. If you need help with settling a bill with somebody or a complaint with somebody, I was the one to call. I could follow through. I became a perfectionist, a controller, and I had a critical attitude. I was critical of others who didn't measure up to my perfectionism, but I was more critical of myself. And that's painful in close relationships with a husband and with children. It's painful for them, that's what I mean. When Jeff withdrew, as he was talking about, he was present physically, he was absent emotionally. And his family motto is, ignore it, and it'll go away. Denial. Well, here I am, Wouldn't you know the confronter, resolver would be attracted to, would fall in love with, and marry somebody whose motto is, ignore it and it'll go away. And I know that contributed to the withdrawal. I mean, I'll let him own that, but I'll own my part of it too. Just as far as I have come to a lot of healing out of what happened, that painful thing in our lives, that withdrawal that he did for a couple of years, and me continuing to confront and want to resolve, and him saying, there's nothing wrong. You didn't do anything. There's nothing wrong. That's the best thing that could have happened to me, because then my confronting and my resolving no longer worked. And that was a good thing for me, because I learned I had made my husband, my marriage, an idol in my life. I made what everybody else thought of it an idol in my life. And God let it fall to pieces, and it was a good thing for me. Praise God, it didn't stay there. And I began to learn that there is a source of life other than my marriage, a source of life other than my children. Whatever hat I wore, that's who I thought I was. But I began to learn that Jesus says I'm valuable to him, not because of anything I do, but because of what Jesus has done for me. That's my identity. I'm his. I belong to him. And as I have gone through training at Christian Families Today and begun to look at my own life, that has shown me more about who God is. And as I begin to look at who God is and learn more about who he is, that reveals more to me about who I am. And that's freedom and life. I did bring notes in case I needed them. So back to this couple thing. Where are we today? We have a much better understanding of our lives. I'm not valuable. I'm alone. He's a failure, unlovable. What happens with us today is not all that different from what happened to us years ago. I may ask Jeff a question, and his response may be, there she goes again. She's accusing me of being a failure. That's what's rolling around there. And he may decide to do the same thing he's always done, which is, coping mechanisms that he's used his whole life, to withdraw. Well, when he does that, through my grid, I hear, well, there you go again. I'm all alone. I'm not valuable. And it can go in a cycle like that. But now we know each other's lies. God shows us, if we're not quick to see it ourselves, he's quick to reveal to us. That's a lie. And I just hang on to John 10:10 so much. You know that verse that says, Jesus was speaking and he said, I have come that you might have life, and have it abundantly, to the full, right? That's what he came to give us. You know what the first part of that verse is? Yes. There's a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. So in our relationship today, we can speak to one another and we can say, you know what? I'm not the enemy. You're not the enemy. There is an enemy who wants us to live in the lies, but we're not each other's enemies, and we can live in freedom and peace and fullness of life. Praise God.